It's Tuesday, 21st of November. It's time to catch your grin on with the Grincast, your fortnightly podcast about gaming. I'm your host, Ace, and joining me are Artura.
Hello, everyone.
Niall.
Hello.
Pej.
Hey.
And Spooky.
Hello there.
How is everyone?
I'm all right.
We were just waiting to see who's going to reply. I hovered my finger over the push-to-talk buttons, and then she just waited for me to click it. It was really uncomfortable.
Well, actually, I thought you were going to sneeze.
Oh, no.
I figured that nobody expected me to actually wait for a response, and that's why I did it.
We're doing good. What about you?
I'm doing chaotic evil, as usual.
Nice.
Well, we'll kick things off, because otherwise we'll be talking about it all episode. What have you people been playing this past week? Take
you
us away.
People?
You people. What have you people been doing this week? Take us away, Artura.
Well, recently I've been playing... It's funny, this time it's inverted. My wife is now watching me play games. So we've been playing Marvel's Midnight Suns and a lot of God of War Ragnarok. And we had way too many nights in which we stayed up till 4 a.m. playing.
4 a.m.? We hit 5 a.m. twice.
Yeah, we just trying to like get to the ending, because it just keeps teasing you with it's going to end, and then it doesn't. And then you just keep trying, and it's torture in a new way.
You know what? That makes it more authentic to the comics, because they have these big events, and then here's the final tie-in issue, and now you have to wait 2 months for the Omega issue, which actually ties things up.
Yeah, it's been like, you know, it's been a ride. Things keep happening where I don't necessarily think it's going to end, but we had particular rules that you can't mention this in the embargo, and for the preview you have to do this. But one of the guidelines was like, don't mention past blank mission. And I kept playing and playing, and I couldn't for the life of me pass the mission, but I'd done events that seemed to fit what the mission was. Turns out you don't get to see the name of the mission. It's named, but you don't see it. So I just kept going and going. I stayed up till 6 or 7 a.m. to write the freaking preview for a mission I'd finished like 3 hours prior.
We're talking about Midnight Suns, by the way. Because since we both mentioned God of War and Midnight Suns?
Yeah.
Sorry, I thought you were going to talk about God of War there.
Oh, no. God of War, I'm really scared. I asked a friend for the review guide, because I was like, what can I not mention? And literally one of the guides is like, don't mention this thing that happens 20 minutes into the game. And I'm like, okay, so I can't mention 98% of the game then.
You realize since Sony didn't give us the code, you can talk about whatever the hell you want.
Although, yes, I don't want to do spoilers. Like... I don't want to be that person that, I mean, I'm not going to say IGN spoils.
If Sony aren't going to send us codes, then sod them.
Yeah, Sony.
But I can't
Let's
spite.
Be real. You're just sucking up to Sony. You want codes?
I can't spite Sony and then screw up our readers. What is wrong with you people?
What are you going to spoil? Oh, Kratos kills another god, does he? Oh, no, ruined the game. I can't play.
Oh, no. Okay, well, Niall, what have you been up to?
More Call of Duty. I mean, at this point, just
get
expect
out.
Call of Duty. But I have been playing Warhammer 40k Darktide as well. The beta's out. I'm going to be honest, it's an absolute buggy mess for me. But I've looked a lot online, seems to be hit and miss. Unfortunately, I'm a miss, but what a nightmare.
That's like the 40k version of Vermintide, right?
Yeah. It's made by Fat Shark, the same people that did it. When you play it, if you have played Vermintide, it'll feel familiar. But it's because it's beta, the connectivity issues are horrendous. You can wait. I mean, it feels like the 1980s. You can wait like a solid 3 minutes to get into a lobby for the game to load. And then you'll just be like insta-booted from the lobby for like connectivity issues and stuff like that. It's really not great. And it comes out officially in 2 weeks, so I'm hoping they sort some of it out in that 2 weeks.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, then there's also stuff like COD, which even though it's actually fully released, it still has that sort of connectivity issues constantly as well.
Yeah, COD was horrific when it came out. It's got a bit better for me, but I mean, I was playing a game before we did the podcast and my latency shot up to like 1,000. So that was fun. Jeez. Just getting shot, you know, people defying time with bullets and shooting me 5 minutes ago and then me just dropping down.
It's like that movie with James McAvoy. But not really, because it's nothing to do with time.
Wanted. I don't know what movie you mean.
Wanted.
Oh.
But yeah, it's nothing. Wanted. Yeah. Ace, cut that bit out. That reference made no sense.
Cut that. Cut that.
The reference made perfect sense to people who, one, read the comic Wanted, two, watched the movie Wanted, and three, watched, I believe it was Disaster Movie, which had a 10-minute spoof on Wanted.
And they have to listen to Game Grown as well, so they have to be a niche individual.
Oh, very tight grouping.
Well, what have you been up to then, Pej?
I've been playing Call of Duty, and it keeps crashing on me at the really the most inopportune times, which is quite frustrating. And also I've been playing Monument Flipper as well, where you go around France flipping monuments. And that
looks end over end.
I was going to say, yeah. Literally? Or
yeah, it's like you put a deck of cards underneath them and you flip them. Now, you're meant to just go to these old-fashioned buildings and stuff like that and redo them to make them look nice. Kind of tedious, I'll be honest, but you know, if you're into that sort of thing, if you play like House Flipper, or if you played any one of those, like, you know, Railway Station Flipper or Internet Cafe Flipper or whatever, the legion of those simulator building games, then you'd love it because it's just more of the same.
I saw that one a while ago, and I also thought it was flipping, like throwing it out their head, like I thought it was like flipping the tower upside down. And I was like, what the hell? But like,
Hercules Simulator.
Yeah, I wasn't surprised because, like, lawn mowing, I was like, man, the gaming is getting weird.
I wish it was actually to do with literally flipping things over. But
I had that same reaction.
They should name all of these games, like, as a genre, asset flippers, because they're literally all asset flips. But yeah, they're kind of fun, but also not really.
Honestly, I'm kind of a big fan of the whole... I mean, I've only played House Flipper so far, and I have to do a code review soon of, like, Castle Renovator 2. And I'm a big fan of those. I kind of get lost in that.
House Flipper is probably the most polished of all of the Flipper games at the moment. I think that was the original Flipper, wasn't it?
You would think that as the original, it would be the least polished.
Yeah, maybe. Flipper. Just search Flipper on Steam and see the legion of Flipper games there are.
But am I the only one that's an issue with the name? It should not be... Why is it Flipper? Is it because I'm Colombian that I don't get it?
It's So flipping is the concept of buying an old, like, run-down property and making it nice and selling it for profit. So that when you flip a house, that's you buying, like, a run-down house for, like, £10,000. Imagine buying a house for £10,000, right? And then making it up and then selling it for, like, £25,000. So that's... You flipped the house.
I see. Man, I really wish it's called something better, like, I don't know, renovator.
Yeah, no, honestly, House Flipper sounds like you're flipping the house, the birds in the houses.
Yeah, you're just flipping everything off, I guess.
Yeah.
Are you guys excited for the upcoming sequel? I had no idea I was going to get a sequel until very recently.
House Flipper 2. This time it's personal.
Yeah?
Order.
Well, it's funny, Spooky, you saying that you think games are getting weirder. I don't think they're weird enough. There's a PlayStation 2 game called Demolition Girl. The plot is this idol was on holiday or on a shoot and then suddenly grows to be kaiju-sized, so you have to fly a helicopter around her, scanning her to get her measurements, and then you have to shoot her with tranquilizer darts in specific places like lower back or the back of the leg, and then you have to defend her from alien attack using a jet fighter.
Okay, so I take it back.
Okay, that's the first three levels.
But counter argument, I recently found out there's this game called Safety First, where you actually play as an electrician that fixes everything with his, and I quote, magical yellow repair liquid. As a little hint, he is not wearing pants.
I'm aware of that game.
Safety First. Oh, yeah. Famous.
So, I'd like to beg to differ. You know, magical liquid is a little worse, especially because you apparently go to space. So does the magical liquid give you propelling powers? I don't know. We need to figure out on one of the 69 levels.
Nice.
69. Depends what you had to drink, honestly.
Yeah, gaming's like, it's really weird nowadays. I like it, but it's getting pretty weird. It's kind of like, I don't even know.
And yet there's still too many cuts. That's spooky. Not so does that mean you've not been playing anything since you've just been watching Azura?
Well, what I've been doing is that anytime she's, like, even a little bit busy, I'll just whip out the phone and play, like, Mario Kart Tour or Animal Crossing or just anything on the phone to get my, like, gaming fix. because I'm like hyperventilating in the corner that I haven't been able to do anything. Hmm. But you know, by the way, the Mario Kart Tour is like fantastically, surprisingly good. I thought it was going to be absolute trash because it's Nintendo.
And yet you downloaded it anyway.
That's how desperate I am, Ace. I got only one computer. I gotta do something.
You need some Oculus games rather than Steam games played on the Oculus.
See, but then I can't like instantly put it down when she's done and we have to go play. And I will have to like disconnect myself from the whole like, you know, virtual world and get ready to like try to stop dissociating. By the way, have any of you ever started having like weird dissociated virtual reality dreams after playing a lot of VR?
I haven't played much VR at all, so not really, unfortunately.
Yeah, same. I can't play enough of it at a time without it making me feel ill, so...
I can't say that I feel that, no.
Interesting. Okay.
Just disassociate on a day-to-day level, you know, in real life.
I've spoken about it before on the podcast. Putting the VR headset on, it does change the way your brain is interacting with your physical environment. Like, it's not even, ha-ha, that person fell over. It's like, yeah, that happens to everyone because your brain is stupid. Your eyes are saying, hey, you are in an open field. So, okay, I'm going to walk forward, dunk, ow, I've walked into the wall.
Yeah, it's really silly how even if you tell yourself, like, I'm safe, I'm not going to fall, if you're at a ledge or something in the VR thing, your stomach just, it dies.
It's like those videos of people who are doing that when they're walking out on the pole thing, and they're told to like jump, and then they just jump like face first into the television accidentally because they can't see. But yeah, like there's like a level between where you kind of disassociate between your real life surroundings and get lost in the immersion of the game, and then, you know, just literally jumping forward as if virtual reality is going to propel you and carry you into the sky.
I just remember the first time I was in VR and I stood at a ledge. I just stared at the ledge and my stomach had a pin and I was like, I am not falling for this foolishness. And I walked forward. I just really wanted to challenge and then walk in the air. It didn't feel nice. No. I did not appreciate it and I didn't do it again.
It feels horrible. It feels like you're going to like in a dream right about when you wake up, but you don't wake up. You just feel stupid.
Yeah, you're just floating there and you're like, what's happening? Just then instead, I felt panic and fear forever.
I mean,
yeah, that's because your brain is stupid.
Yeah. I mean, so far on the podcast, we've deduced that games are weird and they're dangerous. So,
and also, Arturo's brain is stupid.
No, everyone's brain is stupid.
No, just Arturo's.
Well, a game that I wanted to talk about is Sonic Frontiers. As a longtime Sonic fan, I was kind of cautiously looking forward to this, as it's a new Sonic game, so of course. And it's all right. It doesn't really feel Sonic-y enough, because when I think Sonic games, I think, oh my god, I've just like ran through all these things and jumped over all this stuff and I have no idea what's happening right now. But Sonic Frontiers is kind of slow, even when you upgrade your speed, which you have to upgrade your speed. Yeah, I do want to talk about that. You collect these little creatures and deliver them to like the Elder or whatever it is, and it's, I don't know how many little creatures for one upgrade point. It doesn't tell you. It's not that I don't remember, it's just playing doesn't tell you. And you have to select it, because this person can upgrade your ring capacity by 6 at a time, or your speed. You have to select speed, and then he'll do a thing, and then your speed has increased, and then you go down to speed again, and your speed has increased, and you go down to speed again. And you don't know how many of these little things you've collected. So you don't know how many upgrade points you can select. It's so annoying.
Painful.
I mean, we just randomly jumped in because of internet, so I'm not really sure what you're talking about, but that sounds really annoying. And now I kind of want a really troll game that you don't get all the information. You just have to guess.
Talking about Sonic. You can pick which one.
They're all bad. You can say any Sonic game, they're all bad. Apart from Sonic Adventure 1 and 2.
Yeah, Sonic Adventure 2 is pretty good. I'll take that back.
Yeah. Why can't Sega just make Sonic Adventure 3 and, you know, just be good?
Because they want to remake Breath of the Wild, but with Sonic instead.
Ace, how is it? How are the open world segments of the game? Because every like bit of footage or like screenshot I've seen, it just looks like one of those really bad Unreal Engine like conversion things where they just grab like a low poly asset of a character from a video game and they just dump it into an Unreal 5 environment and be like, oh, this is my Super Mario remaster.
Yeah, Sonic does not look like he belongs there. However, the open world is handled quite well. With previous Sonic games, the homing attack has always been a sticking issue.
A nightmare, yeah.
In this, it's actually really good. If you aren't locked onto like something, then you're not going to shoot off into the void, usually. Apart from the open world, it has these cyber world levels, which are literally just slightly reskinned Sonic Generations levels. Like, I was four or five of these cyber worlds in, and I was like, wait, no, they didn't make a 3D version of the Chemical Plant Zone. That already existed in Sonic Generations.
Oh, that's kind of a shame. Like, I mean, Sonic Generations was cool, and it did some cool ideas with the whole, you know, 2D and the 3D thing, but it's kind of a shame if it is just mostly repurposed assets and repurposed maps.
Yeah, to be fair, you're only in those levels for like a couple of minutes each at most.
Right.
A bit because the whole reason you go in those is to get keys to use in the open world to unlock Chaos Emeralds. And you have to unlock the Chaos Emeralds on every island, and there's like four or five islands. And that's the fastest way to get keys is to get... You need to get S rank time, a certain amount of rings, 5 red star rings, and something else that I'm blanking on, and then you get like a bunch of keys. For some reason, when I did the first Cyberworld, it took me like 6 attempts to get even close to the S time limit. I did eventually manage it, and I carried on with the game. And then a bunch of other Cyberworld levels, it's like really easy to get the S time. On 2 of them, I stopped running forward, turned around to go back and get a red star coin, and then still managed to finish with an S time. And then others, again, are really tight time limits, and it's really weird. Also, as a fishing minigame.
Big the Cat? Is Big the Cat back?
Yeah, Big the Cat, yeah.
Oh, Froggy!
Long-time listeners will know, I don't like fishing minigames.
I mean, it's not really a Breath of the Wild clone without a fishing minigame, right?
To be absolutely fair, you have to press one button to fish. You cast the line wherever you want. You don't have to aim for fish or anything. And then when it gets a bite, this red ring goes, expands outwards towards like hit X or A or whatever it is now. And then you press the button and pulls it up, whether it's a fish or a star post or a chest. That's an Unreal chest, not a Sonic chest. Because Sonic doesn't have chests.
Here's
the thing. I'm kind of a contrarian here in that aspect. I think that the more fishing minigames, the better. I love playing anything with fishing minigames. If there's a fishing, I will try to love it. The only exception was like Stardew Valley, where I wasn't super great at it, but it's just because it's really difficult, and the stupid legendary fish continue to elude me. To escape me to this day.
Yeah, fishing games are awesome. It's when they get kind of like stupidly complex or just difficult just because that it's kind of like, oh man.
So you sound like you guys need to get a Dreamcast and Sega Bass Fishing, which comes with a little fishing rod.
Okay, oh my gosh,
oh my god.
Well, I've always wanted to play like a VR fishing game as well.
Yeah, that would
there
be
There
awesome.
Are some, but like I haven't gotten around to doing it yet, but I will come back and I will one day speak on this podcast about a VR fishing game.
And for now, I'll just settle to, you know, like getting a random stick outside when I'm taking the dog out and using that as my fishing rod.
Dangle a carrot in front of your dog.
My God, that would be a terrible idea.
Yeah, he really likes carrots.
He's obsessed with carrots.
Yeah, oh, wow. I've never heard of a dog liking carrots. That's pretty cute.
It happened because we desperately tried to get him to lose all the weight that my mom got him by giving him like 20 cookies a day.
Oh, chubby pugs, man.
If he's a good dog, he deserves treats.
Oh, I know. If it were up to me, he'd be eating every second of every day.
I mean, if it was up to the dog, he'd be eating every second of every day.
No joke. He's actually, we're actually kind of a little bit concerned because we think he's addicted to food.
Yeah, it's getting a bit of a problem because he's now like actively looking or asking for food one way or another.
Crying and getting really desperate.
Yeah, food addiction happens to the best of us, you know.
Honestly, yeah.
Speaking from experience, Pesh.
But my eating problems are a topic for another podcast on another website. I'll be starting a new Mum's Net podcast about eating issues.
And of course you'll have to go all in anti-trans rants.
Oh God. Oh yeah.
Naturally, I think no podcast is complete without it.
No, because it's Mum's Net.
Yeah, Mum's Net are a bunch of turfs, basically. Are we allowed to get political in here? I ain't down with turfs.
I mean, we've told racists and turfs to fuck off and stop listening to our podcast plenty of times.
Hell yeah, brother.
Well, I mean, that's probably why J.K. Rowling stopped listening or something.
Yeah. Look, we're in Apple Podcasts charts in Peru, so I don't care what she listens to.
Peruvians are a hot demographic.
Peruvians love this podcast.
Hell yeah. Shout out to all our Peruvians.
And we love Peruvians.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
It's my favorite country I can't place on a map.
Central America. South America, I think.
That, hey, now, we're really close to Peru, or nearly close enough to say that being Colombians, obviously.
We're English. When something's close in England, it's got to be real close, because most stuff is just too far away normally.
Like a 45-minute drive, at least.
Yeah, whoa.
At most, sorry.
We're pushing the limits at 45 minutes for a drive.
I mean, I've got to go two counties over to go to a Wagamama's.
The nearest Tesco to me is like a 10-minute drive away. Phew.
That was one of the things that really messed with me when I went to America, and I was like staying with friends. I was like, oh, well, can you take me to a Target, because they're selling this like thing. I don't remember what I was wanting to buy at Target, and they're like, oh, the nearest Target is like 2 towns away. I was like, what? 2 towns away for a Target? They're like, yeah, we're a Walmart town. I was like, but in England we have like Asda, Morrison's, Tesco, Sainsbury's, we have everything in every town.
And we wonder why we're all obese.
Well, all the English people compared to the Americans.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. we're all a little obese. Everyone's got a little bit of obeseness in them somewhere. I carry it in my thighs.
Right, did anyone bring anything to the podcast they wanted to discuss that wasn't games that they've been playing?
Obesity, let's go. the current kind of trend that seems to be coming out about composers for video games not getting credit or getting shafted by the development companies. Like, it's been God of War Ragnarok, there's been Mick Gordon from Doom Eternal, and I can't remember, one of the COD music composers as well got completely like all credit removed from their work and the latest COD game. And it's crazy.
How can you not credit people who worked on your product? Like, it's not a new thing to credit the people who worked on your game. It's been happening for generations of consoles.
Yeah.
I know the first Resident Evil, I mean, back in the 90s, had this problem. That's why the special edition has that ridiculous music on it. Some sort of legal issue about someone who wasn't credited properly, and Capcom was scared that they were essentially stealing the music. So that's why they had it all changed. Possibly been happening for a while.
At least back then they were scared of stealing the music and getting worried about it. Like, now they just straight up steal music and they just pretend like it's okay. Like, Mick Gordon composed a lot of stuff for Doom Eternal and sent over a lot of stuff to ID Software, a lot of demos that weren't meant to be finished products but were meant to be proofs of concept for songs, and they just took all of that and just threw that all into the game. And they're like, yep, that's fine, these will be the songs that we'll put in the game because you're not finishing it on time.
Yeah, it's a bit savage, that.
Yeah.
Well, didn't Capcom get caught copying some textures from a coffee table art book in Resident Evil Village?
Oh, did they?
Did they not learn with Resident Evil 1?
Well, yeah, that's why I bring it up.
Absolute animals. AAA developers, right? Am I right, AAA developers?
It doesn't matter when you make a game that's going to reach such a wide audience, and they sit there and think, no one will notice, let's just be quiet about it. like millions of people have played it. Like, someone will notice.
Okay, I can't find that specific thing, but I typed into search Resident Evil Village stealing from book, and the first several results are that Capcom were accused of stealing a monster from a 2013 movie to put in Resident Evil Village.
Really? Which monster was that?
Propeller Head?
Right. That seems like a really weird thing to do, to steal a monster from a movie. I feel like that's something that a lot of people would notice.
Frankenstein's Army was the movie. The director claimed that Capcom plagiarized his creation with the Propeller Head monster, along with other creations. They're found towards the end of the game, and a piece of concept art for Heisenberg section of the game specifically notes a Frankenstein influence.
But did Frankenstein's Army have an 8-foot-tall, busty vampire woman? I want to know if that got nicked.
Just for research purposes, of course.
Oh, obviously. This is an educational podcast, after all.
It constantly amazes me the kind of things that AAA developers get away with. Just big corporations in general, but this is a gaming podcast, so you can focus it down on AAA developers.
Arthur has just found the thing I was thinking of. Updated 2022. Huh. Remember reading about this before then. Capcom and artist resolve lawsuit regarding alleged stolen photos in Devil May Cry Resident Evil. Like, there was one example from the court documents was how the shattered glass effect on the Resident Evil 4 logo was exactly the same as this photo of shattered glass in this book.
That is actually insane. It's also insane that people can recognize that texture and be like, oh, I've seen that texture somewhere before. And
also, I imagine it's the person who took the photo of glass in Italy and noticed it on this logo.
That's amazing.
I mean, if you scroll down, you can see more specific ones. Like, there's like a wall with very similar lighting. And like, it doesn't take a genius to see the freaking similarities here, specifically on the book one.
There we go. Down at the bottom, it says it was updated in June 2021 and updated in February this year. So it's been going from since at least last year. Yes. Capcom, stop.
Don't do it.
Yeah, just don't do it. I've closed the tab now, but I believe that it says that they could have literally just licensed the images.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure licensing textures isn't a hugely expensive thing either, especially for a company like that. Like, it would have cost less for them to try and create a new texture than it would be to just license one, maybe? Like, you go on... Well, what's that website that has all the stock images?
Stockimages.com. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not doing
it. Okay. Shutterstock,
yeah. I'm pretty sure paying for a license, like a commercial license for a texture or image from that isn't ridiculously expensive.
I'm sure that indie developer Capcom can afford a license.
Sounds to me like we need to, make a movement, and us and the Peruvians boycott Capcom. I'm pretty sure then we'll make a change in the world.
Well, I mean, they produce a lot of scary games, so I generally don't play their games.
Yeah, same. I'm too scared.
I mean, yeah, I'm boycotting them.
And look, all the Resident Evils we have on our Steam, it's just gifted to us, okay? We didn't buy it for Halloween and then definitely didn't play them because we're playing The Quarry instead.
To be fair, Resident Evil games do go on sale for dirt cheap on Steam pretty regularly as well. So you're kind of, if you're buying them on sale or for very cheap, you're already kind of, sticking it to them.
And if you want to stick it to them really well, then go to fanatical.com/ref=gamegrin and buy them from there.
So it's ref, R-E-F. Okay,
ref then, I'm assuming.
Oh, you know it isn't. Ref. Confusing our Peruvian listeners.
/IGN, was it? Did you say?
Oh, damn it.
Give me a few bucks and I'll say it in Spanish for you too, so they understand.
Yeah, we're going to have to do this podcast in Spanish to please the Peruvians.
I mean, they're listening to us anyway, so.
Hola, ¿cómo están?
Okay, but here's the thing. You guys go to a Spanish class and learn a few, phrases. That'll make them real happy.
My dad's actually fluent in Spanish, and he never taught me as a kid, which is really frustrating, because I would have loved to have been able to speak Spanish.
Did you ask him to?
I mean, I was a kid, I didn't really think about it. Like, My mum taught me Farsi, but like my dad didn't teach me Spanish, and I learned English in school. So I showed up to the first day of school being like, I don't speak English. Well, I don't actually say that because I couldn't speak English, you know.
Yeah, no, my mom taught me Spanish before she taught me English because she didn't want me to not be able to go back to our home country.
I was taught English by being thrown into the wilds of the United States and in schools. And I had this girl sitting beside me. And every time the teacher would say something, I would really obnoxiously get close and tell her, what'd she say? So that's how I eventually learned my English.
I mean, I'm from England and I can barely speak English, so I definitely don't know any other languages.
I think that's pretty standard for Englishness, isn't it? Like, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I'm from Stoke, so I don't even pronounce H's. They're not even in my vocabulary.
I can speak many languages. Hello, I am Andrew. Tell me where a restaurant Ace. Is.
Oh, Ace, you're doing it. You're doing that thing. Speak loud and slow and everyone can understand everything you say.
Then you're Esperanto.
That's what Esperanto is, isn't it? Just speak loud and slowly in English and throw random French and Spanish words in every now and then.
Yeah, throw a bit of an accent on the end of your words sometimes.
Where is the librario?
Okay, but jokes aside, you know, Ace does know what all our languages, sarcasm, rude, demeaning.
I know at least one word in Japanese.
Nani?
Two words.
We also forget that Ace does speak the language of the streets as well.
He also speaks the referral language.
He is a... from the mean streets of Worcestershire? What? I don't know where you're from, sorry.
Well,
Coventry?
It sounds magical. I don't remember what I said.
I don't know, just Westbrook or something.
I was like, wow, I would love to
every
live
England
there.
Name is the same, so it's either Westbrook or West something. I don't know.
Shire.
Westshire, yeah, there we go.
You don't, there's no Westbrook in England. Well, I mean, there probably is, but you know. Westbrook is more of an American
name. I'm currently in Oxfordshire.
Oxfordshire.
There it is. Sure, I pronounce it. Sure, yeah. But yeah.
They have really weird names.
I'm a Staffordshire.
I'm Northamptonshire.
I'm in your mom's shirt.
Wow. That's rude. What did my mom do to you?
I'm so sorry, Pat.
On that note, I think we've reached the end of our podcast. Thanks for joining me, Artura, Niall, Pej, and Spooky.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you indeed.
Thank you for listening to the Greencast, and thank you for subscribing wherever you found this episode. You can find more from us on GameGrin.com, finding us on social media, or listening to the Pals Anime Lounge podcast. Until next time, game on.